Joining us on the lines at 7:18 is John Steenhuisen, the interim leader of the DA, familiar guest and on the morning show. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Great to be with you and great to be with the listeners today. Thanks for the opportunity, and I hope you're keeping well in this 21-day lockdown period.
Yeah, we are indeed. Some days easier than others. How are you managing? Are you managing to work a normal day from lockdown? How does it work for you?
Well, you know what, Howard? It's the most amazing thing, actually. I was saying to one of my colleagues yesterday, I've actually been in more meetings and longer meetings on the Zoom platform than I think I've ever been in the office.
I've been working
harder than the office. I've got to wait for the lockdown to end so I can go back to
normal work. Well, I think part of it is that you can't bump into somebody and just have a quick chat and catch up with them. Everything that you do now is much more deliberate.
And, you know, with Zoom and that, you know, there's no breaks. You know, it's not like you've got to drive between meetings. They're just relentless. You know, they're in your diary and there they are. And, of course, people don't have anything else to do in the day, so meetings tend to be a bit longer. People, I think, enjoying the seeing colleagues and the human interaction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's incredible. We are such unbelievable social beings that this just goes against everything. But thankfully, we do have platforms, as you mentioned, like Zoom. I know we work a lot with Teams. There's just a lot of different ways in which you can be in contact. The one thing that John, that I wanted to address was, I have an immense amount of pride in how South Africans and the South African, and I believe that it started with Parliament. It started with the way in which not only President Ramaphosa, but how the opposition parties have dealt with the situation. When I look at what is going on in the United States, in contrast, and you still see them ripping each other apart for political gain, you wonder how it would be possible for them to ever win this war. Whereas here in South Africa, from day one, there was almost this clear view that, and certainly I read it between the lines from you guys, and you were also fairly overt with it, and you said, this is it. We're getting behind this, and we're going to do this together. Was that a decision that everybody made together, or did each party decide that, you know, we're going to put differences aside for now?
I think that each party made up their own decision. But for me, as the leader of the DA, it was pretty much a no-brainer. You know, there comes a time in a country's history where you've got to take a country-first approach. And I think that if coronavirus and COVID-19 is not one of those cases, and I don't know what would be, you know, it's very similar to what happened in the Second World War. You know, you need to come together. Parties need to come together. We're not going to beat this thing through partisan bickering. COVID-19 doesn't attack people if they've got an ANC or DA membership card. It affects all South Africans. And Howard, it's going to be even more important. And I can tell you why. It's going to be even more important because the post-COVID-19 world that South Africa is going to have to navigate is going to be a very, very difficult place. And we must start laying the foundations now for our country's recovery after it, and that's only going to come if parties work together and put the interests of the country ahead of narrow partisan interests, as you're seeing play out in the United States at the moment.
What's interesting there is when you go back to that, because as you say, there's different phases to this war, and you use the image of the Second World War. I fully agree with you, but the period after the war is equally as important, because if you start if it becomes divisive in that period, which is as important as the war itself, the rebuilding, then we'll be back to not achieving much, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I'm very worried about post-COVID. I've no doubt, Howard, that the efforts being done by the president and the health minister particularly, who's been absolutely excellent and fiercely competent during this period, and I think credit must be given to
absolutely.
Them. We're going to beat this health thing health-wise. It's the state of the economy that really worries me, because businesses that closed in this period, Howard, are very unlikely to open again afterwards. And we've already seen what's happened in Israel. You've had unemployment to jump massively as a result.
Where you almost had a negative unemployment, you've now got a massive unemployment problem.
Yeah. So you've got, there are big challenges coming our way, and the virus is but one of them. And as I say, we will beat the virus. but it's what shape our economy emerges at the end of the tunnel that's going to require the real rebuilding. So much like, if you carry on the Second World War analogy, Germany had to rebuild after the war. We're going to have to rebuild. And it is an opportunity, actually, Howard, I think, for us to let go of some of the ideologies that have got us into the economic mess that we're in. And I think there's opportunity for us to restructure the South African economy in a way that's going to make it far more resilient, far more nimble and adaptable and agile for this, the new waters that we're going to have to navigate in the post-COVID world.
It's got to be difficult for an opposition party that's been calling out corruption and the policies that you've referred to not point fingers at this time and say, well, it wouldn't be so bad if we had more financial stability because we'd be able to support people more. That must be a tremendous effort to hold back on that and say, okay, let's just put that aside and focus on the health crisis and then moving forward.
Well, of course, but you know, we've got to also be, our job as an opposition is to be honest. And I think you can do that in a way without being accusatory and finger pointing. I think you can do it in a constructive way. And let's be honest, our economy was not in the best shape going into this crisis. This crisis is going to exacerbate. So what we mustn't do is allow the crisis to become a mask for the failures. So the corruption, the maladministration, the state capture, all of these were symptoms, Howard, of a paradigm of state control. And that's one of the structural reforms that I'm hoping is going to come out at the end of this. That, you know, it's going to settle once and for all the fact that we don't need government running an airline. And, you know, bailing out, spending 16 billion rand bailing out an airline that's not even flying at the moment. You know, as opposed to spending it on the people through healthcare is madness. So I'm hoping that at the end of this, the paradigm is going to shift to one where we give power to people and to business in the economy, and we give less power to the state, which is, you know, the paradigm that's got us into the situation that we were in, certainly from an economic perspective. And part of the reason we've got to rely on very generous and very welcome donations from families and corporations is because there's been absolutely no money set aside for rainy days like this by government. And, you know, there's a paradigm we've got here, because what we must do is learn from this lesson. You know, COVID-19 is one challenge. We're going to have many, many more in the decades to come. But we've got to make sure that the ship is ready to sail those tough waters going forward. And that means we are going to have to make some structural changes.
I see that there's just been an announcement that Mary Oppenheimer and daughters are giving, are also donating R1 billion, and that's separate to the other billion. So we are seeing a tremendous amount of human South African spirit, and I think you see that from that level down to just to normal people who are saying, well, how can we help? What is my job during this time? Even if I don't have a lot, maybe there's something I can do to help the elderly or people. I hope that you're seeing that as well from Parliament, from a government position.
Yes, of course. And, you know, there's no greater act of patriotism than coming to your country's need, its aid in its hour of greatest need. And this is South Africa's greatest need. I just hope that the money that's being donated, Howard, is going to be able to be dispersed as quickly as possible. Yes. I really worry about small business struggling to keep its doors open. A lot of those small businesses really do live from hand to mouth. They don't have big reserves or cushions or, you know, or money set aside for, if that money is not injected quickly and in a transparent, open and accountable way, I worry that businesses are going to close that aren't going to open again, and you're going to see people losing their jobs. So I'm really praying and really hoping, and we're putting a lot of pressure to make sure that the money gets into the economy as quickly as possible so that it's not sitting in a bank account while businesses are shutting their doors.
Yeah, absolutely. And well done to you. Well done to the DA, for your approach. I think it is absolutely, critical. Do you think that, never mind sort of the economic, landscape, there's going to, everything's going to look different when the ravages of COVID have passed by. Do you think that the way government in South Africa functions, communication wise, the ability to work together, do you think that that could be a positive unintended consequence of this tragedy?
I really do. And what has been encouraging for me during this period, Howard, is that I think you're starting to see the tendrils of possibilities starting to reach out. And I've been very proud of not only the president and his team's response, but I've been very proud of my team, the DA, Shadow Cabinet's response. We prepared, our Shadow Minister spent a lot of time and research preparing what we called our Blue Book, which is a 62-page assessment of the COVID virus and measures and suggestions which we've shared with the president now on things that he could be doing. Now, we're very grateful that some of them have already been adopted, particularly around the economy. But there is an opportunity for us to refine and change the way government works. And I think that is going to be one of the positive consequences of this as well, coming out of it. And I'm really hopeful that, particularly in that very important phase of the post-COVID recovery, because what you essentially want is your economy to recover in a V shape. The worst case scenario is an L shape recovery, yes, where we never actually get back up to the growth levels that we need to be at if we're going to sustain the country going forward. So that's going to require a Herculean effort on behalf of all South Africans to get our economy moving. And I'm really hoping that the spirit of cooperation and working together in the country's best interest will continue in that post environment so we're able to navigate those dangerous waters together.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely right. And please God, you are right. Just keep well, keep healthy, and just keep doing the amazing work.